The underdog is howling.
This is Stanford Steve and the Bear.
Ah, yes. A home team getting points. What's better than that?
Final Four edition, men's and women's, of Stanford Steve and the Bear podcast. Bear, now I'm seeing things in the cabinet behind you. So we are making progress at the new Bear Cave. How are you?
We're doing well. Progress is being made. And I just think that you and I, we've kind of been overlooking a lot of important analytics and important statistics when it comes to handicapping games. And I think from here moving forward, we're probably going to have to take a longer look at free throw defense as a very key analytic to all these games. I mean, we all saw Michigan and Alabama combining to go 17 to 36 in the free throw line in the Sweet 16 against UCLA, right? You lose in overtime, you lose by two.
Across the board, it is. I've said it forever. It is a stat that I always bring up. Everybody's favorite conversation in the world: Michael Jordan and LeBron James. It's my favorite thing. Like, just because of that, I will always take Jordan because of pressure situations and free throws. But that's a whole different world. We do have the four teams. It's Baylor, it's Houston, it's Gonzaga, and Uncle Bill Walton's UCLA Bruins. Just incredible. I retweeted the picture Pash sent out before the game last night of Walton looking at the John Wooden statue, and he had some quote. But the best UCLA thing I heard was this morning. I was listening to Rick Neuheisel, who does radio every day on the ESPNU channel, and it came from his wife, and he said he was standing in front of the TV last night celebrating, and his wife said, "You're nuts." And he's like, "What are you talking about?" She's like, "UCLA fired you, and then you lost another job because of a March Madness pool." And I thought that was just so good. Love listening to Coach. And I just thought it was hysterical. But, I mean, improbable. What do you want? I just think they've made the most of the opportunity. Yes. I said that last week. As much as the Pac-12 teams have, I thought they did. I mean, Juzang was incredible last night. Cronin, I thought, was phenomenal. He uses his antics. I was watching and I was replaying. He'll call out sets and yell at his guy, acting like he should be on the other side, and he does it on purpose so the defender looks over and the kid runs a back screen on the other side of the court. He did it like three times with Juzang last night.
And he also got a foul call on Michigan after complaining about, he hit him on the – he wasn't even close to hitting the shooter on the arm, wasn't he? And then on the other end, because he was yelling and screaming at the rest, he got a kind of I don't want to say makeup call because he don't call it makeup, but he got that call on the other end. So yeah, his antics certainly benefit. Yeah, you're right though. You don't want to like crush these teams and say they're lucky and everything, because you do have to go out and you do have to win. But wow, what a complete run out of nowhere for UCLA, from going from that Michigan State collapse to getting the most overseeded team in the tournament to Abilene Christian, and then you get a 1 and a 2 seed to combine for 10 of 39 from three, 17 to 36 in the free throw line, in games that you win in overtime and by two. I don't know, like, what kind of like Jedi mind trick that they're able to pull, where you got Wagner like wide open with no defender inside, like within 5 feet of him, airball. Like that's the type of shot you dream of as a kid, wide open.
Top of the key.
A wide open look, top of the key, trip to the Final Four on the line, air ball, not even close, with no one even on him. So yeah, give him a ton of credit. They won all their games, but wow, between them having that luck of a run, and then you got Houston with four double digit seeds that they you got two teams that certainly took advantage of the opportunity. That's always the thing that you not worry about, but with a tournament like this, the way it's set up in basketball, especially where you only got five players on the court, limited number of scholarships, in a one game situation in hoops, anything can happen. So like, is it entertaining and is it awesome and is it great to be? Yes. But are you going to ultimately wind up with the four best teams in the Final Four? No, Now, that being said, I kind of like the way it's shaken out. We've gotten what everybody thinks the two best teams in the country are all year long. We kind of been angling towards Gonzaga Baylor all year. You got an unbelievable Cinderella story in UCLA, which it's hard to call UCLA a Cinderella story. And then you got Houston, which is just kind of ugly their way to the Final Four as well. So it should be a fun couple of games on Saturday.
A couple things. I want to admit I was dead wrong. I thought Michigan would get there because of Wagner. I really thought he would be the difference maker. I thought he was great against Florida State, and he could not have been worse last night. Oh. He couldn't get by guys. I mean, the way they schemed him up, I think it says a lot about UCLA's game plan. I thought he was going to be the guy. I love Shawnee Brown. I didn't think he played enough last night. I thought he should have had more, especially with Wagner struggling. But man, the opportunity just not had by Wagner. I really thought he was going to be a difference maker for them, and you were going to see him step up his game with the injury to Livers. And man, I was totally wrong on that. I want to mention our producer. I saw he had a little grin on today because of he was not taking part in the Big Ten is we mantra that was going on, rooting for Michigan. And Travis, you have any thoughts on that?
Honestly, I didn't watch a second because I was in bed, but I woke up and saw a score, and I was delighted.
You didn't watch an Elite Eight game?
No.
Come on. Wow. You're a sports fan.
I didn't want to watch
it. What happened to you?
It was late. I'll give you that. It was late.
I don't want to hear that. He's a sports fan. If any other Big Ten team was playing, would you have watched?
Yeah.
All right, then. Now, don't say it.
It pained me.
You had to get up in the morning.
It pained me to have to see them still playing. So it was anybody but them win the tournament, and I was just, get them out.
Okay. I do want to talk a little women's tournament also, but am I not going to be able to see Davion Mitchell guard Jalen Suggs in the championship game? I have a bad feeling. And listen,
we're getting,
I just feel like all this, and we're not going to get, like, it's this close. And this, I saw Gonzaga is favored by 9. If they play Houston, 8 against Baylor. Gonzaga is
really
so, yeah.
That's weird because you got Baylor is 5. Like, you would have thought it would be double digits against Houston. And
I had a bet in maybe when they were going to play earlier in the season. I had Baylor +4, and I loved it. And this Baylor Houston matchup really scares me because Scott Drew's got to be watching film of Houston offensive rebound and just being like, whoa. The effort is just incredible. And I said before the tournament, Barrett, they were the biggest wild card to me in this field because I love watching them. I watched as much as I could of Houston. Just the way they play is phenomenal. But I really was worried that they were going to be a product of their conference and how they really weren't challenged. And that's why I was really scared to pick them. I picked Rutgers to beat them. And they probably should have. Yeah, that was pretty close to happening. But they've proven me wrong. I mean, everybody wants to talk about who they've played. You can't I understand you want your team to have that road, and then you would think your team would be where Houston is. But at the end of the day, man, you got to look at them for what they've accomplished because they've gone. I mean, it wasn't, nothing was given to them. I mean, you go back to the Rutgers game and going back to the Sweet 16 game, they just went out and just took it from Syracuse. And, right, you know, Syracuse, you know, felt really a public play there, and it was dicey to me. I was really interested to see what Syracuse could do offense. I know everybody wanted to talk about what Houston was going to do against the zone. I was more, wondering what was going to happen with Syracuse because I did think they lacked that ultimate playmaker in that show with Houston. But credit to Kelvin Sampson, and how about him doing it in the state of Indiana? That's just amazing.
Yes, and you have Sampson versus Drew, two guys who've been connected in the state of Indiana, obviously, with Scott Drew and his dad coaching Valpo for the longest time. I think the key for Houston is, A, obviously you have the offensive rebounds, but is Sasser hitting shots? You're going to get Grimes. He's going to make his fair share.
Yeah.
Giroux is going to do what he's going to do with all. That was a prop the other night. I couldn't believe. there were two props out there, like Giroux rebounds over under 4.5, and then against Oregon State, and like combined assists and rebounds was like 9, and I'm like 9.5, and I'm like, wow, it's looks like an over, and I think the second one went over, and I think it might have gone over both in the first half. But, so you know what you're gonna get for him, but I think Sasser is the key to this team in terms of what if he hits shots, then that's gonna make Baylor's job that much more difficult.
I'm just fascinated to see who he guards. Does he guard Mitchell? They put him on Butler. Like that's a huge tell. For me, we saw, you know, what I mentioned, you know, against Syracuse, what he did to Boeheim. I thought he was absolutely phenomenal. I do want to touch on the totals in these games because it hasn't been pretty if you've been taking overs. And the total in the one Baylor-Houston game is 135. Gonzaga is 145. I saw the Baylor-Houston number went up right away. I think it opened like around 132, 133. Have you had any feel for these teams that are playing now, like in the sides? Obviously, the underdogs, you know, if they have control, you saw what UCLA did last night. But have you looked at any totals? Have you done anything with those in the Elite Eight or Sweet 16?
But you know, mostly live is the way I've kind of approached the totals. I had that Michigan team total last night, and that didn't work out too well for me. But I think live has kind of been the way to go with these totals. So the Baylor total actually opened up. And it's gone up as opposed to down. I thought that this might be more of an under type game initially. So I mean, I guess I would play under in this game. The only hesitation you have is, will there be fouls? Will the game be in that foul range at the end of the game, or will it be like a close buzzer beater type game where you're not going to want to foul. I guess at this point I would lean towards the under because you might be able to then get in a situation where if you're right and it is a slow scoring type game, you might get a really nice in-game total to be able to maybe go over maybe the first or second TV timeout that pop up like a 127 or a 128, and then you're looking at like a 7-point middle. So you could potentially approach it that way.
Yeah, I mean, last night's game was, God bless you. Hopefully nobody had the old Lightning on over bets, the old Artie Lang Lightning bets, because that would not have been pretty. But I saw a live total at one point. I think it was the under 8 or under 12, under 12 maybe. It was 112 was the live total in that game, and obviously we know what that game's comes with, you know, the game landing at 100 points scored. I think I did it once, and I'm really mad at myself for not doing it, but like the easiest play feels like taking Gonzaga team totals over, because they make it look so easy. That I mean, that first half last night, it's just, I mean, they did whatever they want. You got Timmy going, like, he's the perfect guy to go against that zone. And seeing what he did, carving him up early on was incredible. You know, you had to figure Gonzaga, you know, Oregon got caught off base with the zone in the Sweet 16 game. But the Gonzaga was so impressive last night to me. And obviously through this tournament. And we see that with the odds. They're now minus 200, I saw, to win the title.
Yeah, that obviously, with UCLA winning, that was completely the deal. That's viewed now as completely opening up, and you've got the biggest national semifinal spread.
Is it?
Yeah. Your unbeatable Duke team in '99 was 11.5 over Michigan State in the semifinal in that game that they won by 6.
I was there.
Yeah, as I was in Tampa. Before you kind of wind up getting them.
Don't get that wrong.
Yeah, the St. Pete Thunderdome, or the hell it used to be called. But you're right about Gonzaga. Like they're so, I mean, UCLA is going to be really up against it, slowing them down, because they have so many options, and they get such good shots, and there's going to be a size disadvantage there. I don't know. This is going to be. I worry that this could get potentially out of hand.
All right. Well, with that, I will say this. I would rather have UCLA plus the 14 in a national semifinal bear than I would rather have Arizona in the women's semifinal.
How about that bet the other night? What a terrible non-call. That was an absolute foul.
I would say we've talked about officiating on this podcast a lot in this sport. If you think the men's is bad, watch the women's. It's atrocious. And I know, you know, everybody's talking about the Baylor ending, but just watch the game. It's brutal. I don't know how. I mean, you talk about patience. You know, you saw Mulkey lose hers. I thought Gino was phenomenal after the game and answering that question. He even had a response for LeBron in LeBron's tweet. But the women's tournament, I love UConn with this. I think they got over the hump, beating Baylor. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was, I thought you seeing Gino after the game, I thought like you could see he really, I don't think he expected to win that game, knowing what Baylor was. They kept talking about how they were bigger, stronger, faster than them, but the persistence paid off. And I would just want Kim Mulkey, a 19-0 run. You got to call a timeout. Like that, like the game, I know you lost one of your best players. You got to call a timeout in that instance. I love UConn, especially in the first half against Arizona. And I would lay the 13.5 with the UConn women. And I like them to win the title. People are just getting mad. I sent a tweet out about women's title odds. It's all over. It's like 150, 190 DraftKings has. I think UConn has gotten over the hump, I mentioned, and I think they're going to win that title. Any women's thoughts there?
You know, I'm with you on that. Your school of thought on the UConn game, because I think that they exhale from getting by Baylor, and now you can go out and play a lot freer, a lot looser. You're back at the Final Four. I think that they'll come out and handle Arizona pretty easily. The other game's a tough one. Other game probably that's a stay away type game, I think, for me.
Yeah, Stanford showed a lot last night in coming back, down double digits, and they win and cover. I had Louisville plus the points. I thought it was too many. I love the coach and what he did. I mean, a couple of years ago, he beat Baylor with Griner, I want to say, in the Final Four also. But I just want to, like, everybody talks about Beckers. The girl, Kristen Williams, for UConn is phenomenal. She's a junior, number 13. She is fantastic. And I think
just a couple free players like her. That almost cost them.
Yeah. She. How about that? Did you see somebody tweeted at me? Their team total against Baylor was 69.5. They had 64 points with 7 minutes left. And then Kristen Williams goes 1-4 from the line in the last 18 seconds. And they win 69-67. But that's a bad beat. But, yeah, Stanford, South Carolina probably played their best game. They probably had the best matchup in the Elite Eight also. But, hey, they got there. Dawn Staley's been incredible. But I would – yeah, that's a tough game. I would probably think about South Carolina with the points if I had to pick that game. But, yeah, give me all the UConn. First half, I think Arizona, I like that over too. It's at 127. I think UConn will score plenty.
Yeah, I was going to say,
and Arizona's going to have to keep up.
They, like I said, they could get in the 80 range.
What would that, what would their team total is? They're given 13.5 and the total's 127.
Math so you're looking at what? 70-57?
Okay. I'll take that over.
By the way, I know no one really cares. I'm going to give you like live Maria Sakkari, double break in the first set on Naomi Osaka. Unbelievable. She's come to play.
What tournament is that?
This is Miami.
Oh, your Miami. Old home stomping ground.
Five love in the first.
Whoa. Wow.
Be just important for Osaka to win her
set. What are those live odds?
Yeah, I'd like to see. I'd like to see. I know Naomi wasn't a super big favorite in the coming. I think she was right around like 290 or so, 300 maybe it might have been.
Okay.
Sakkari had that battle the other day where she saved six match points. Got through.
Going back to the men's, do you Would you lay the 200 to Gonzaga to win it?
Well, you're telling me that they're going to be an 8 or a 9 point favorite against either team in the final.
Yeah.
So that's going to be more than 200. So yes, I would lay the 200 to. I mean, what's the money line parlay minus? What is a 14? What's minus that minus 1,000 and minus 700 or whatever it's going to be, right?
Hmm. There you go. That's why I asked you those things because you're the math guy.
I'd lay the 200. I would.
Okay. All right. Any other thoughts on Final Four, men's or women's? Officiating,
it just feels like both games are just going to be, the Gonzaga game will be non-competitive. Gonzaga will win and maybe UCLA can get a backdoor or whatever, but it's a hard game to play. The other game, you're right. The under game might be an under type game.
Hmm.
But yeah, I'm gonna have to wait and see because you're right. Houston does so much defensively and on the offensive glass, and I think there will be a little bit of psychological motivation type deal with Houston in the state of Texas against Baylor. So
now, if Joshua plays like he did the other night, I give me Baylor. I did lay 220 before the tournament for a one seed to win it. How do you like my chances?
I like your chances. I think you're going to get both one seeds in the title game. I wish we had more props up right now or something to be able to look at. But
I got some props on my site.
I don't have. I'm looking at the Will Hill set right now. You got a lot of alternative numbers up here, but no.
Got Gonzaga minus 450 first half money line.
That's not a bad bet actually.
You think? I just think if UCLA is going to be in anywhere in it, it's going to be in the first half. That's that. I would just worry about that.
Define anywhere in it.
the way they were able to muck things up, it feels like it's done early. Whereas they could catch these teams off guard, which I thought they've done a good job. And I would rather have UCLA first half than second half. How about I just say that?
Okay.
All right. Anything else? This is we're down to the four. I mean, every point spread was right around 8 in the Elite Eight games, which was really weird. I think I saw a number. It was like the first time ever we didn't have like an even or 1 or 2 point spread, which I thought was pretty weird, knowing the amount of games we've seen come down to the wire. I just where are the games? I mean, last night was close. It wasn't a good game, though, right?
Correct. Exactly.
Okay. Maybe Baylor and Houston gives us one. I got a big fantasy draft tonight. Baseball.
Yes, you do. I've had one each of the last two nights.
You actually did this draft for me last year.
Oh, okay.
And looking back at my roster, you were really, really high on the Indians last year.
I was.
Is there an Indians version this year for you in baseball?
I don't know. Yeah, that was weird. I think that was the way the draft. I did draft Bieber for you though, right?
Last you year? Did. You yeah. did.
I don't know. I mean, the Blue Jays are going to be that super trendy, popular team, I'm sure.
Okay.
You know who might be? You know who I think is a little undervalued this year?
Toronto's at 86.5.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. You know who might be a little undervalued this year, I think, are the Indians. And not the Indians. I'm still stuck on last year. I think the Astros are going to be a little bit undervalued just because you got Verlander out for the year. And,
okay.
And the cheating scandal, like that division's still not. The Rangers are awful. The Mariners are awful. Oakland's good. I mean, I think the Angels are still probably a little bit overrated. But yeah, their win total is 87, yeah. Right?
87.5 I have.
Yeah, I mean.
Okay.
And I saw, like, to make the playoffs, they were, like, minus 120. I mean, I'd lay 120 on them to make the playoffs. Even if they don't win that division, they're going to be one of the wild cards.
You couldn't pay me to take over 90.5 with the Mets. There's that. Everyone knows how I love my Mets, but the division bear is legit. Like, correct. Washington's that, no that, pushover. You know, another, I really like the, Atlanta that's, and
that's Philly's the other a sleeper. Team I played over. I played Nats over.
Okay. I played
Nats over 84.
Well, I got 83.5. I might go with you on that one. I'm going to check out. I get to add a ballpark tomorrow. Nats Park. I'm going to head to opening day. Mets
very
Mets.
Nice.
Yeah. Very check NFL, it off the list.
Maria Sakkari is one of the first set six love. The real Greek freak, as I like to call her. My very good. Good for you. Nats Park. Excellent.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. I'm going to check it out. Of course, it's going to be 40 degrees, but we'll fight the elements. I have no problem doing that with what's going on.
Those two win totals I mentioned, I like, but I don't know how you don't go under Marlins and under Orioles. Oh, those are the two biggest win totals that I bets that I made. Like the Marlins. I mean, you had the Marlins last year. You had the shortened season.
Mm-hmm.
Weird. Going on, and their biggest Adam Duvall, yay! Like the Mets are better, the Nats are better, the Braves are like you're in a good division. Like if it's gonna take 73-74 wins to beat me, so be it. Like that pitching staff is young, and mm-hmm. I think they're gonna take their lumps. I went under Marlins, and then I mean the Orioles they're not trying to win. Like they're throwing Matt Harvey's their number two starter. Like really?
Wow.
Like seriously? In that division with the offenses in that division, 64. If you win 65 games, I mean, by all means, congratulations. And I actually see an under 65 out there right now.
I see 63.5 and you were right. Texas, they're over under 67.5.
Yeah, they completely, I mean,
wow.
They dumped Odor. I mean, they got Joey Gallo fine. But their pitching staff is what they lost Mike Minor. I think they lost Lance Lynn too, right?
Yeah.
That's not happening.
Yeah. The division thing with Baltimore is just, I mean, when you combine with, like you said, what they're trying not to do, which is win, and you have the other teams out there. What are the Red Sox? The Red Sox are at 80.5. They did not have a good shortened season over the summer. That is factual. And then the Cubs, obviously, everybody bets them. 78.5. I looked at the Cardinals, 85.5. I like that over.
That's in that division you look.
Yeah.
Who got better in that division? The Pirates are terrible. The Brewers are they're fine.
Mm-hmm. 82.5.
The Cubs did not get better. You lose Schwarber, you lose Hugh Darvish. I mean, a lot of unhappy Bryant and Rizzo are kind of question marks based on what they did. They should bounce back, but.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Cubs pitching staff is atrocious. Like Craig Kimbrel is your closer, and what are you going to get from him?
It feels like everybody, the public is all over White Sox over. I'd take a shot at that under 88.5. That's the one division where that division feels it's plus money under 88.5. So that would be go against the tread.
Especially now with the injury to Eloy Jimenez, and that's a big loss for their lineup.
Yeah, they got plenty of talent, but that's a high number. Anything else baseball wise? How are the Yanks looking? Yanks will be good.
Yanks will be good, but their pitching staff is a crapshoot.
Well, they got Kluber now as a two, right?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, they just basically you bring in Kluber, you bring in Jameson Tana, and you get Domingo Germán coming back. Like they're basically throw like taking the like the Cleveland Browns and that draft possible draft like thing. You just get as many picks as you possibly can, and ultimately if one of the moves pan out, and you actually get something from either of those guys that works out well. Baseball, so they'll be okay. I still think overall the Rays are better. I mean, are you really going to bank on Judge and Stanton staying healthy the whole year? Definitely not. So we'll see. I did take a couple of little flyers on some home run odds. Again, they're 40, 50 to one type plays. I mean, I took Rafael Devers.
Okay.
Last year, again, it's hard to really like pay too much and read too much into anything super positive or super negative. What happened last year, but I think I was doing a lot of reading and like, I think like the COVID situation, like really freaked him out last year and scared him. Mm-hmm. And he wasn't necessarily in super shape mentally for the season. So he obviously he did not have the type of year that he thought, but again, it's a complete throwout type year. But this is a guy a couple of years ago who hit 32 homers and 54 doubles. I think he could certainly press 40 home runs this year if a couple of those doubles turn into home runs, and he's going to play in a lot of batters type parks in the AL East. So I think Devers was a guy I took a shot with, and Vlade Jr. is another. Obviously, he was the flavor of the month as a rookie, and had 15 as a rookie, and then last year the hype was ridiculous, and he wasn't going to live up to the hype that was there. But mm-hmm. at the same time, this is a guy who now he's going to be playing in Dunedin for a good part of the year. So you're going to get probably home runs there. And AL East venues mostly for his road games. Dropped a lot of weight, changed the launch angle a little bit on his swing. So you would think that his home run total should go up. So if you're looking at a couple of guys that are not the obvious Alonso, Trout, Gallo in that range. Those were a couple of guys that I thought might be worth taking a look at.
And what was it, 2 years ago you had Bellinger?
Yeah.
Against Alonso?
I had Bellinger at 80 to 1.
Oof.
Yeah, that still hurts.
Sorry about that.
Still hurts. Yeah, I think he hit like three homers after like August 15th or something. Just that was brutal to get beat by Pete Alonso.
Sorry to bring up a bad future. You're usually good at those.
That one. But again, as I said at the time, when you bet an 80 to 1 future, all you can ask for is to be in it, We were certainly in it, and we had a chance, just didn't ultimately pan out the way we would have liked.
Have you started your master's homework?
Very, very briefly and preliminarily, I have. Obviously, it's hard to bet John Rahm right now because you just don't know what's going to happen. He said that the birth of his son is imminent. His wife is due next week, and he will leave at a minute's notice. So it's hard to bet him. Yeah. It's hard to – that's going to be one of those where you're just going to have to wait and ultimately decide if it's worth taking a chance. But I think Justin Thomas is someone that you need to take a look at. Obviously, one, the players and his game's coming into form. There really isn't a better iron player out there, right? And maybe Colin Morikawa would be. And JT had kind of struggled at Augusta for a long time. But like his finishes have gotten better and better and better each year. He was fourth in the November Masters last year. So I think JT is someone that you really need to take a look at. It's tough because the one thing you don't want to do this, like, when we talk about college football next year, like we're talking about with baseball. 2020 is such a throwout type outlier. You don't want to read too much into it. Like, this course is going to play so much better. It's going to be rock hard. I can promise you that. And like, okay, whatever they up, I'm very curious to see what they post the winning score at, because this is not going to be 14, 16, 18 under par. I don't think this year. I think this is going to be closer to maybe a 7, 8, 9 under par. I think they're, after what's happened the last couple of years, I think you're going to see Augusta National really bring the teeth out in this course. So be careful with reading too much into who played well last November into now. And then if you're looking for a real crazy type long shot, is someone who could maybe finish in the top 20 or finish in the top 10. Victor Perez is someone who, yeah, I saw him at 90-1. Obviously played really well in the match play last week. But that really shouldn't have been a surprise, because he finished top 10 at the Players. He was fourth in Saudi Arabia earlier in the year. He did yacht around Augusta last year just to get familiar with it. So like 90-1 on a guy who is get a second look in good form right now, just to maybe a couple bucks. I mean, maybe whatever, it's fine. But like, still, you're going to get really good price on his top 10, top 20 finishes as well. So that's where my mind is right now. Obviously, I love looking at the matchups as well, so which will be out next week.
Should we?
What about you? You any Masters thoughts?
I've said since the beginning, Patrick Reed.
It's going to be his type of course.
I like the idea. I've seen him do it there. I think that course is, obviously it's not like any others out there, but I think past success, really, and we know when you get to that back nine, yep, you know what you have to do, mm-hmm, and to see somebody that's done it. I know it sounds cliche, but that matters to me. And that's who I have my eye on for sure. Anybody for the Texas Open this week? I was trying to look at who's not playing.
I looked a little bit. Scottie Scheffler, maybe.
Yeah. I got three favorites on my favorites on my site are Spieth, Finau, and Scheffler.
Yeah, people are gonna play Spieth all over the place, which I can't blame you, but I might just wait for a first round type number. I thought maybe Scheffler would be someone to look at.
I love that guy.
Sam Ryder, I think, has been playing well. And then maybe someone like Chris Kirk for top 10 or something like that as well. He's another guy. He finished just outside the top 20. I think it was at the Players at a nice number. So Kirk could play. But it's funny, getting back to Reed, and I can't remember if I had this conversation with you or if it was a conversation I had with someone else. Like, do you think there is a situation where we get a better price, marginally better price on Patrick Reed just because people don't like him? Like, people don't want to see him win. People don't want to see him do well because of all the alleged, yep, cheating and everything.
No doubt.
I think he's a little bit of an overlay every event because, yeah, of that.
I agree with you. And you hit this year with him, right?
Yeah. I had Reed out West. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's a great point. And I think it's totally fair. And I think it's valid. He always seems lower. When I say the odds, but they do always seem lower. And I love him. For Augusta, I'd take a shot with Charlie Hoffman this week. Feels like a tournament Charlie will show up at.
Well, Charlie Hoffman, funny you say that, he is the all-time earnings leader at the Texas Open.
There you go. I didn't even know. I'm learning.
He always plays like it's almost like a token Charlie Hoffman first round leader bet.
There we go.
Big weekend of.
Triple
Crown Preps this weekend. Yeah, I have not seen the entries yet, but we'll see if we're able to find any time.
I got to send out the cheat sheet for our guys at ABR doing their work.
I got sent out the Florida Derby recap one, which was a surprise to see Shugan Gay. He wasn't as disappointed with greatest honor as as I think a lot of people were. But that was a weird track. The winner ran huge, and it's always a souped up track on Gulfstream is on big days.
So those kind of things happen this time of year, huh?
Correct. Yeah, but again, what the bluegrass and the wood, which will be fun.
Very good. All right. So for a Big Mike Happy recap, I'm going to give you a couple. UConn first half, whatever it is. I'll take UConn for the game. I'll take that over.
Cosign.
I look at UConn's team total. I don't love it. I would look at the over in the Baylor Houston game. The officiating is absolutely enormous in how that game is called. And I'm really want to see what Kelvin Sampson does with his game plan. I like the Cardinals over for the season, White Sox under, Mets under, of course. Your thoughts?
Yeah, give me UConn women first half and game. Lay it and laugh. Mm-hmm. I'll lay the 200 with Gonzaga to cut down the Nets to finish off the perfect season. And then, I have Orioles under, Marlins under as my two favorite win totals. And then if you're looking for a little bit of home run fun, Devers and Vladdy Jr. to win the home run title.
I did have Baylor playing Gonzaga in the final of my bracket, if that's worth anything. I did not take the Illinois
State. Well, see. Yeah, I did. That was a bad day for me when Illinois lost to Loyola, and then West Virginia lost to Syracuse. Mm. I lost two of my title bets before the 60 even got. What really like burned me about the tournament was every time I was like against the team, they'd show up, and then the next game would be when they. Or like I needed a team, they would play. Like I needed West Virginia to beat Syracuse to get to the Sweet 16 and cash that ticket. But and I knew as soon as the line came out, it was the line stunk. Mm-hmm. Why is West Virginia only 3? And of course, West Virginia loses, and then Syracuse gets their doors blown off in the Sweet 16. I need Loyola to beat. I need Oregon State to lose to Loyola. I need Illinois to beat Loyola to get to the Sweet 16. They don't. Then I need Loyola to beat Oregon State. They don't. And then Oregon State. It's like every time I needed a result, I got that result one round later. So
we did
all right, because this weekend the couple of games that I needed came through, because I had under 7.5 wins for the SEC, so I needed Baylor to beat Arkansas, which they did, and then I had under 4.5 wins for 6 seeds, and I needed. USC to lose to Gonzaga, which they did.
Nice.
That worked out for a little bit of a nice little bounce back.
I was a part of my first Calcutta this year.
Oh,
and man, that was such a blast. I'm forever grateful for the guys that got me involved with that.
Who did you wind up with?
We cashed. We were that close. Our highest team. It was our first time doing it. So we went in on
– I didn't get one this year, but
– It didn't start out well, because our highest – the most money we spent was Purdue, and that did not go well. But I went back and I grabbed North Texas. So we had North Texas. Mm-hmm. We had a bunch of teams in that bracket. I grabbed Villanova too, just in case.
Oh, yeah, Villanova and then, gets the 16, had to pay, right?
Yeah, yeah. In that one, we were in the first and second round wins were the same. They were both 1%. That the next one was where we had 3 teams in the Sweet 16. We had Oral, we had Syracuse, and we had Villanova. And obviously they all lost. On the other side, we took a shot at Ohio. We got a win out of them, which basically got our money back. So it was a fascinating process. If anybody has a chance, it's basically just an auction, and the teams go for a certain price, and then all that money goes into the pot, and the wins are based on a percent of the pot.
How did you guys wind up doing it this year? Was it in person, or did you do it like
– Yeah, online? We did it in person. Awesome. Shout out for Rehoboth Beach Country Club. It was an unbelievable night. Can't wait to get back in that one in the years coming. It's a fantastic time had by all, and those guys that spent all that cash on Gonzaga are still alive. So They need to win that tournament, I think, to make some money. I'll just say that.
Yeah, but like I had read one that a buddy of mine was in. I think like they got Oral Roberts like for $20 or something like that.
Oh wow, yeah. What was it? In ours? You got the 15 and the 13 in each pod. So that's how that one. Yeah.
Okay.
15. Yeah, and then you got the
14 and the 16.
14 and the 16. Yep. Yep. So it was phenomenal. Really good time. That should do it for us. Take us away.
The less you bet, the more you lose when you win.